to do this morning. I think it'd be the will of the Lord. So let's look in Hebrews chapter number 5. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles, I want to read one verse in your hearing. Hebrews chapter number 5. If you're able and willing and would like to stand with us and reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord this morning, that would be good. We're only going to read one verse. Hebrews chapter number 5. Share with you a thought from this passage of Scripture. What we had for this morning may tarry over until tonight. We'll just pray about what the Lord wants us to do for this evening's service. Hebrews chapter number 5, and in verse number 1, the Word of the Lord says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God." Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things pertaining to God. So he is from men, taken from men, ordained unto God's matters, and ordained unto heavenly things. And this is the purpose that a high priest has, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Now, Scripture teaches us here concerning every high priest. The Bible does say that the Lord has made us to be kings and priests before God. Every believer is a priest after the order of our Lord Himself, who is the great high priest, and there is none other like him. And he said that every high priest is taken from among men, ordained by men for the things of God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 9 said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6 tells us, "And He hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9 said, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou hast slain, hast redeemed us unto God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and had made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth." As priests, we have an order, we have a purpose in this life. And the Bible said it was concerning the things geared toward God. As it were, the things pertaining to God. When it comes to the Lord as priests, God desires of us two things. The Bible said of that priest, those things concerning or pertaining to God, was that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Now, we preach a lot and talk about a lot how the Old Testament priest would bring a sacrifice unto the Lord, how they would bring an offering unto God, whether it were a lamb or a ram or a calf or a heifer or turtle doves or whatever it might be, and that we would give a sacrifice, the priest would give a sacrifice unto the Lord. But before you can give him a sacrifice, you've got to give him a gift. The Bible said to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and the gift comes before the sacrifice. But here we are, we got a problem this morning. Every one of us have a problem. We don't have anything worthy of giving to the Lord. I mean, what are we going to give to Him? What do we have that's worthy to give unto the Lord? I mean, our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. We can't measure up. We don't have anything worthy to give to the Lord. But I'm glad God will give something to us. And what He wants us to do is take what He has given to us and for us to give it back unto Him. Matter of fact, for eternity we'll be doing that. Do you realize when we get to heaven and the Lord rewards us and our labor is not in vain in the Lord and He puts a crown on our head and to my feet He gives us a robe on our backs and shoes on our feet, and when we get to heaven He'll honor us. Do you realize what He wants us to do? He wants us to take the gift that He gives to us and give it back unto Him, and we'll take those crowns that He gave unto us and we'll cast them back at His feet. We'll give Him the gift that He gave unto us. And my friend, He'll honor us, and He seeks then for us to honor Him. We'll give Him the gift that He gave unto us. Do you know what you have this morning that is worthy of giving to the Lord? What He gave unto you. Amen. He's the one that put life in us. He gave me my life.
is the one thing that I can give back unto Him. Matter of fact, every good thing that I have came from Him. Every good and perfect gift coming from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So anything good that I have came from God. And if I'm going to give it to Him, I got to just give Him back what He gave unto me. Amen. And the Lord wants me to give Him a gift. God wants me as a priest, you as a priest, to bring Him a gift. God wants you to bring Him a gift. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. God wants you to bring Him a gift. These Old Testament saints and these Old Testament priests were there to offer both gifts and sacrifices. And my friend, it started with a gift, and God wants me to bring Him a gift. In Hebrews chapter number 8, the Bible said in verse number 4, "For if He were on earth, He should not be a priest, as seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law." And gifts and sacrifices. And to God, He wants us to bring Him a gift. A gift is required of a priest. And you cannot bring a sacrifice until you bring Him a gift. And since you have nothing to give God of yourself, He wants you to give the gift that He gave unto you back unto Him. I want to say here this morning a few simple things God wants us to give Him by way of a gift. This morning, the Lord, God wants me to bring Him the gift of fruits. He wants me to give Him the gift of fruits. John 15:4 said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bring forth fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Any fruit, any good thing that comes from our lives, anything that's produced out of our lives, it's the gift of God. God gives it unto us. But you know what He wants us to do after we bring forth the fruit that God gave unto us? He wants us to give it back unto Him. Amen. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples." He said in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. And the men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles. Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit, or evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall you know them." God gives us the fruit. Amen. It's produced because of the goodness He's put in our lives. And then when we bring forth that fruit, the Lord desires for us to give Him a gift. Give Him back what He gave unto us. Amen. My friend, we bring Him the fruit of the Spirit. You see, it's not our spirit that's produced here, but it's God dwelling in us and giving us a new spirit and a new heart and a new desire. And it produces new fruits. The fruit of our flesh, my friend, was death. The fruit of our flesh brought about death, the carnal mind. Is at enmity with God. And to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But God gives us a spiritual way and spiritual fruit. That natural fruit, that spiritual, that fruit of the natural man, that carnal fruit, that fruit of the flesh, is revelings and murder and malice and hatred. But He said the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What kind of meeting would we have this morning if we bring this gift of fruit unto the Lord? Nobody coming here today looking for their own interest. And nobody thinking about themselves. Everybody bringing it unto the Lord. My friend, that fruit of the Spirit, that joy and that peace. Everybody being long-suffering one with another. Everybody giving God a gift of gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. What kind of a meeting? What kind of a church? What kind of fellowship would we have one with another? And surely with the Lord, if we give Him a gift of fruit, He wants us to give Him the gift of the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to give Him the gift of the fruit of suffering. You realize suffering bears fruit. It bears fruit that only God can give. The natural man does not want to suffer. Nobody does. The natural man does not want to do without anything or to suffer in any manner. But Jesus said in John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not forth fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, what does He do? He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know what you got to do to purge the branch? That means you got to cut on it. Amen. My friend, by the way, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, be it transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Before you could ever be a sacrifice, before you could ever offer a sacrifice, it must be cut before it can be offered. And to my friend, God takes the trees that bear the fruit of the Lord, and He prunes them, He cuts them, He operates on us, He takes away the things that do not glorify Him, He prunes back areas of our lives, and those things that don't please Him. And He does not do that to hurt us, Brother John, but He does it that we might bring forth more fruit. If you're living for God, it doesn't mean you'll never be cut. If you're serving God, it does not mean you'll never be pruned. In fact, if you're producing fruit, it's a guarantee that God will prune you. One of the main reasons, there are really two reasons why. When I was a kid, we had a lot of fruit trees. There are really two reasons why that you prune an apple tree. Number one, because it's not producing enough apples. And so you cut limbs off and you trim it back and allow new growth to come so it might be more productive. The second reason why you produce an apple tree, it's because it is producing apples. Amen. And the limbs get heavy and oftentimes will break and fall off. And either way, the limbs get pruned. Either way, there's going to be some cutting going on. And either way, it is for the sake of productivity. It's not to damage the tree, but to bless and benefit the tree, that it might be more productive. God wants me to give Him a gift. The reason why that we face sufferings in this life is not because God's cutting us to hurt us. It's not because He's trying to tear us down. But He wants us to bring Him the gift of fruit. And He knows that through suffering we're made perfect. And through our trials we're made like unto Him. And Paul sought the Lord 3 times, saying, would you take this thorn in the flesh away from me? And God would not take it away. And yet He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you realize that this morning that when we suffer, God can bring forth fruit in that. And rather than sitting about with the mully grubs and a spirit of complaining and whining and bellyaching, we're to bring the fruit that God produces in our lives through suffering and through hard times. And we're to give it like a gift unto the Lord. Oh, my friend, what in the world does that even mean, preacher? Let me put it in real plain language for you. When you go through difficult days and times, don't say, Lord, why me? But instead, say, Lord, use me. Produce something in me. And when God makes you better through your trials, and God makes you better through your suffering, and say, Lord, when I come through this, a better man, a better Christian, a better servant of the Lord, I'm going to give all that I have unto you. Amen. Old Job went through it and God pruned him. And he suffered much, but when he came through on the other side, he lived his life to please and to bless the Lord. He purgeth, he prunes the trees and vines from useless shoots to cleanse and of filth and impurity. After as many years of suffering, God called Joseph into Genesis 49 and 22 a fruitful bough, even a bough by the well whose branches run over the wall. Seems like all of Joseph's life had been pruning and cutting, and yet God gave him some growth and God gave him some fruit. And when God gave him fruit, Joseph gave his fruit back to God. God wants me to bring him a gift, and since I don't have anything, he's given me something so I can give it back unto him this morning. The fruit of suffering. He wants me to bring him the fruit of separation. Amen. Oh, my friend, Psalm chapter 1 tells us about the blessed man. But the blessed man didn't get blessed by running with the world. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate both day and night. Hey, you want to be like the tree? He said, He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You cannot run with the world, be like the world, act like the world, look like the world, and dress like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world, go the places the world goes, and produce the fruit that God wants you to produce. But I tell you, if you'll separate from the world, God will produce in you and through you what you cannot produce, and you can take the fruit of separation and give it unto the Lord. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. And God wants us to bring him the fruit of separation.
Amen.
You know what you cannot do? You cannot bring him the fruit of your own labor this morning. Cain tried it. He's the first one who did, and it didn't work for him, and it won't work for any of us. He brought him the fruit of his own labor. He brought him the fruit of his own abilities. But I tell you, when God produces fruit in your life, that which God has produced through you, my friend, is fit to give back unto the Lord. God wants me to bring him a gift. Amen. I'm so glad he didn't demand of me a gift this morning and not give me a way to get it. How many of you have told me you've got to bring me a gift and left it up to me to find it? I'd have been in a mess. But instead, he gave it to me. Now all I got to do is just give it back to him. Oh, praise his dear name. God wants me to bring him a gift. God wants us to bring him the gift of fruit. God wants us to bring him the gift of faith. In Luke chapter number 8 and verse 25, in the midst of the storm, Jesus asked those disciples, I said, where is your faith? Where is it? It almost seems like they had misplaced it. I'm going to tell you, if your faith is in yourself, it's misplaced. If your faith is in the preacher, it's misplaced. If your faith is in the church, if your faith is in the government, if your faith is in society, if your faith is in your family, if your faith is in yourself, your faith is misplaced. And Jesus asked them, where is your faith? I wonder, is your faith in the Lord? Another account in the storms. My friend of life, he told them, he said, all ye of little faith. They went from losing their faith to having little faith. And then in another occasion in John, he said, how is it that ye have no faith? And they went from misplaced faith, and my friend, to small faith, to non-existent faith. I tell you, faith is God's gift. And if you don't reinvest it, it'll waste away. You've got to put your faith. Faith's a gift from God. You didn't come up with it by yourself. You can't believe in God without He helps you to do it. You can't trust in God without God enabling you to do so. And we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Faith is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God gives to every man a measure. measure of faith. Faith is God's gift. And if you want to see your faith grow, you've got to reinvest it in the Lord. You've got to give God a gift of faith this morning. Jesus asked him, where is your faith? Oh, my friend, hey, God gave you the faith and He wants you to give it to Him. Hebrews 11:6 said, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Romans 10:17 said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith didn't come because you decided for it to. Faith came by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and the Word of God came by God Himself. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost under inspiration of the Spirit of God. And God gives us faith, and then the Lord wants me to bring Him a gift and give Him the faith that He gave to me. Oh, He wants me to give Him a gift of faith when I'm afraid in the storm. He asks Him, how is it that you have so little faith? Where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? All of those during the storm. Psalm 56:3 said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And Paul gave God faith in that horrible storm in Acts 27:22 when he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be, even as it was told unto me. He believed the Lord in the storm. God wants me to give Him faith in the storm. Oh, why the wind's blowing, quit sitting around saying, how are we going to make it? And return to the foot of the Master and cast yourself into His care. And God wants us to give Him a gift of faith this morning. When we're in the storm, when we're afraid of the storm, I tell you, God wants me to give Him the gift of faith when I'm attacked by Satan. Amen. And Job endured great attacks from Satan, but he never stopped offering faith unto God. And in Job 13:15, he even said, and though he slay me, yet will I trust Him, but I will maintain mine own ways before Him. And now, in other words, even if God does not hear me, and if God does not heal me, if God does not take away the suffering that's in my life, I'm still going to believe Him. Whether things are well or not, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, if I die trusting the Lord, I'll go to my grave believing God and trusting Him. God wants us to give Him our faith when we're attacked by Satan. We can do like David in Psalm 23, and He can prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Ephesians, at 6:16, said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You want to know what to do when the devil's attacking you? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God wants me to give Him a gift of faith this morning. Trust in the Lord. Oh, God wants me to give Him the gift of faith when I'm afraid of the storm, when I'm attacked by Satan. God wants me to give Him a gift of faith when I'm asking for something. Amen. God wants me to give Him the gift of faith when I'm asking for something. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we ask and yet we receive not? Amen. Because we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our own lusts. But if we ask anything in His name, He said, I'll give it unto you. God wants us to give Him a gift of faith. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, and when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. How many times have I prayed? Have you prayed? And we prayed what we knew the Lord wanted us to pray, but we really didn't believe He was going to do anything. But there were times when I got in the church service, and it was just as dead and dry as last year's bird's nest. Yet to my friend was like Chinese water torture. And because it was so miserable and so weak in the service, and to my friend seemed like the squire was struggling and the preacher was struggling and the Sunday school teacher was struggling and I was struggling. And sometimes I've sat on the pew and say, Lord, you got to help. And down in my heart I'm thinking, he ain't going to. Something as dead as this, he'll kill it off before he revives it. And I'm praying what I know the Lord wants me to pray, but I'm not giving him a gift. He gave me faith to believe, but I'm not giving him a gift. And before I can offer him a sacrifice of worship, I've got to give him a gift of faith. Before I can enjoy the glory smoke that goes along with a sacrifice, I've first got to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many times do we approach God and we do what we know he wants us to do? We're willing to give, we're willing to serve, we're willing to work, but we won't give him a gift. And before we can ever have him honor our sacrifice, we've got to give him the gift.
Amen.
Trust him, trust him. God wants me to give him a gift when I'm asking for something. Amen. Well, you're going to the Lord and you ask him to save your children, but you won't give him a gift. You ask him to save your lost loved one, but you won't give him a gift. You want him to save them, but yet you won't quit trying to do it on your own. Amen. You won't take your hands off of it and put them in his hands. Amen. You won't trust him to do it his way. You try to control the circumstance. You try to fix it. You try to make things happen instead of giving God the gift. Oh, but God wants me to give him a gift of faith when I'm asking for something. And I don't know how you are, but it seems like all the time I'm asking for something. I mean, it's just about every day I have art and a lesson. Maybe you're a lot more spiritual than me. I have a hard time praying without asking for something. Seems like I'm always asking God for something. I'm always needing something. A saying that had come up with years ago. I said, come before the Lord like the little boy Jimmy. Says, give me. My name is Jimmy and I take all you give me. Heaven, that's the way I am lots of times. I mean, seems like I'm always asking for something, needing something. The fact of the matter is I'm poor and needy. Yet the Lord taketh upon me. God just wants me to believe him and trust him. And when I ask him for something, to give him the gift of faith. And whatever it is that I need, if I'll give him the gift of faith, he'll give me the gift of whatever it is that I need. It's not beyond him, but I first got to trust him and believe him and put my faith in him. And I realize this morning I only believe him because he led me. I only trust him because he empowered me. I only believe him because he allowed me. What a blessing it is this morning to have faith to give back unto the Lord.
Amen.
God wants me to give him a gift. He wants me to bring him a gift. God wants me to bring him some fruit. God wants me to bring him some faith. God wants me to bring him some fellowship. Amen. You know what the Lord created us for? He created us for fellowship with him. And listen, if you're going to have fellowship with God, you know what you're going to have to bring to God? You're going to have to bring him the fellow down inside. Amen. God wants this fellow down in here. God can't do nothing with this fellow out here. This fellow out here is at enmity with God. This fellow out here hates God. This fellow out here cannot be subject to the law of God. I'm talking about this carnal man. And my friend is not interested in the things of God. But remember what I told you. And my friend, we can't give God anything that he doesn't give to us. But when he saved me, he put a new man down in here. And God wants a fellowship with this fellow down in here. This fellow down in here, God can do something with him. You see, this fellow down in here is a saved man. This fellow down here is a seeking man. No man seeketh after the Lord. But God put a man in me that seeks after the Lord. This man in here is a sanctified man. He's been cleaned up. He's been changed. This man down in here, hey, since he called me to preach, this man down in here is a sermonizing man. Amen. The Lord wants wants me to bring him this fellow down in here. This fellow out here is a little use for him. If I don't give him that fellow in there. Paul said to make this body a sacrifice. A living sacrifice. But I cannot make this body a sacrifice unless I make this fellow in here a gift. I've got to give him a gift of that man before I can make a sacrifice of this man. He said every priest must offer gifts and sacrifice. The inner man becomes our gift, and then the outward man becomes our sacrifice. This outward man refuses. This outward man rejects. This outward man rebels against God's will. But when the inward man, the fellow in here, when we give him as a gift to God, and my friend, he allows us to have power over the outward man. Are you listening to me? God, my friend, can use your sacrifice when you let him have your gift. Amen. He gave me this fellow here that I might fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Would you give him the fellow inside? Would you give him all that's within you this morning? God wants the old man, but he wants it mortified. He'll take the new man and quicken it. Amen. He'll take that old man, that new man, my friend, that old nature of man, and slay it. And then he will make you a quickening spirit. And that is, he'll quicken that fellow inside. And when he quickens that fellow inside, and you give that fellow inside to the Lord, and then he'll help you to mortify, make a sacrifice out of this natural man that's on the outside. The spirit man can thrive, and the flesh man dies. You know what's got to happen? And my friend, he, the fellow inside, must increase, and me, the fellow on the outside, must decrease. Amen. God wants me to bring him a gift, and then I can offer him a sacrifice. If I'm given the gift of this fellow, and then I can offer the sacrifice of my hands to do the labor of the Lord. If I'm given the gift of this fellow on the inside, then I can offer the sacrifice of my feet and along the way of the Lord. If I'm given the gift of this fellow on the inside, then I can offer him the sacrifice of my mind to faith, the thoughts of God. If I will offer him this gift of this fellow on the inside, how that I can give him my voice to praise his dear name, to declare the marvelous works of Christ. If I'll give him that fellow on the inside, how then, my friend, I'll give him the strength of this natural man on the outside to work the service of the Lord. But God wants me to bring him a gift this morning. If you're trying to work the work of God, walk the way of God, think the thoughts of God, but you hadn't brought this fellow to the Lord in here, then you'll fail ultimately. You've got to bring him a gift before you can bring him a sacrifice. Everybody listening this morning? Amen. God wants me to bring him a gift. Hallelujah. Well, the old Indian medicine man, when David Brainerd was preaching, he said, preacher, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, shall you have. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And that old Indian medicine man heard him. And he wanted so much to receive that blessed Savior that Brother Brainerd preached about. Oh, but listen, he came. And the old medicine man said, me and an Indian medicine man, me give donkey my transportation. Me give the donkey to the Lord. But Brother Brainerd kept on preaching, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. The Indian medicine man, perplexed, returned again in the midst of the sermon. My friend, many medicines and spices and oils, ointments and potions, very valuable in their society, and said, me and him, medicine man, give all this to God. Oh, but Brother Brainerd kept preaching, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. He went back to his teepee, come back with blankets, handmade and woven, and wrapped across his arm. Very costly, very valuable. And he sent me in the medicine man of great wealth. Give great blankets to God. Oh, but finally, brother, I'm ready to keep preaching, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And that medicine man stood there thinking, I don't have any more possessions to give. I've already given God everything that I have. And finally, with tears in his eyes, he told Dr. Brainerd, he said, I have nothing left to give. Me, an Indian medicine man, me, just give me to God. I think that's what God wants anyway. He wants the fellow down in here. He wants the fellowship with this fellow down in here. And when you give him a gift, then you can give him a sacrifice.
Amen.
Preacher, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do something for God. You can't do something for God till God does something for you. But when God does something for you, and you give him this man down in here, then you can give him this man out here. When you give him a gift, then you give him a sacrifice.
Y'all understand what I'm preaching about this morning?
That's good.
Literally, God wants fellowship with the fellow that's down inside of you.
God wants you to give him the inward man.
Thank you.
He wants the old man mortified, but he wants the new man that he's given unto us, given back unto him. 1 Corinthians 1:9 said, God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants to fellowship with the man inside of you. Did you know who God wants to talk to? Somebody said, oh, if I could hear him with my natural ear. You know why God doesn't often speak to human beings audibly? Because he's not interested in this fellow out here. He's interested in that fellow in there. Amen. God fellowship for the fellow in here. 1 John 1:3 said, that which we have seen and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And let him said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I'm glad we can have fellowship with him. I praise his dear name. God wants us to give him the gift of fellowship with the fellow down in here. God wants us to give him the gift of fellowship in the home. Luke 10:38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Martha is often criticized for her shortcomings, but she gave God a gift by inviting him into her home. I wonder, is he welcome down at your house? Will you let God fellowship with a fellow down in here, down at your house? Do you say, well, I'll go to church Sunday and I'll fellowship with God then? Or do you say, Lord, I want you at my kitchen table. I want you on my living room sofa. I want you to show up in a private prayer place. I want you to ride down the road in the car with me. Lord, I need you in our family devotions. I need you when I'm reading the Bible. I mean, do you want God to fellowship with you in your home? God wants you to bring him a gift of fellowship with the fellow down in here, even when you're all by yourself down at the house. God wants to fellowship with us in our homes. And then I want to say, God wants us to bring him the gift of fellowship in his house. The reason why we've come here today is for this fellow down in here to fellowship with that fellow up there. And I say that graciously, kindly, and respectfully. He wants us to fellowship. Amen. That's exactly right. He's not ashamed to call us his brethren. I say the fellow up there and the fellow down here so as to help you understand that God has, my friend, humbled himself and identified himself with us, became like unto us, and died on the cross for our sin. I'm going back to heaven, and now it's his desire, since he became like unto us, for us to become come like unto him. Amen. He wants to fellowship with us in his house. He said in Revelation 3:20, behold, at the church he stood there and said, behold, I
I stand at the door and knock. If any man open unto me, any man hear my voice and open unto me, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. He wants to be in the midst of our worship. He wants to fellowship with us at his house. Where two or three are gathered together in his name there, he said, I will be in the midst of them. God wants us to bring him a gift of fellowship at the house of God this morning. We didn't just come to see one another. We didn't just come to hear the singing and the preaching and the testimonies in the Sunday school lesson. We came for this fellow down in here to fellowship with that fellow up there. Hallelujah. He wants us to bring him that gift of fellowship this morning. God wants the gift of fellowship in our home, in his house. He wants the gift of fellowship in our hearts. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I'm so glad that Jesus lives in me. He wants to fellowship with us in our hearts. Does anybody in the building this morning know what I'm talking about when I say, thank God for those times? When it's not because the choir's singing, when it's not because the preacher's preaching, when there's nobody else around but me and the Lord, and God just comes along where I am and warms my soul, and it draws me up near to his bosom, and lets me know that I'm his and he's mine, and he fellowships dearly with me. I say hallelujah for a God in heaven that my family accept my gift of fellowship. Brother Randy, he could ignore me and still be God. He could push me away and still sit on the throne. But yet God wants me of all people. He wants me to bring him a gift. And he can't bring him what he hadn't given me. So he extended fellowship with me before I could ever have offered fellowship with him. When I was minding my own business 28 years ago, God come by my way and drew me near to himself and said, I'll walk with you if you'll walk with me. And he gave me a gift of fellowship. And now I can give him a gift this morning. In our hearts, he wants us to fellowship with him. Ephesians 3:17 said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. God wants me to bring him a gift. I'd like to give him a sacrifice. Brother John, I'm afraid most of the time I don't even give him a gift. I can't bring him a sacrifice that is something of myself or some sort of thing that I have given away, until I first bring him a gift that is everything he's already given to me. And I'm afraid most of the time I don't even give him a gift. He wants me just to give him what he's already given me. And if I were to give God everything he's given me, but TJ, just have to give him everything I've got. Amen. Because everything good that I've got came from him. And if I'm going to give him a sacrifice before I can sacrifice, I first got to give him a gift. I wonder this morning, have you given him everything you got? Have you just given it all in lock, stock, and barrel? Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. Live or die, sink or swim, whatever happens, I'm going believing in you. If I die, if he slay me, yet will I trust him. God wants you to bring him a gift. You're a priest this morning. I'm finished preaching. Come on with a song. I'll give you what the Lord's given me. God wants you to bring him a gift. You are a priest this morning. If you'll ever bring him a sacrifice, you'll have to start with a gift. Some of you this morning don't need to think about sacrificing anything of yourself until you have at least honored him with all the gifts he's given to you. Now I'm asking you this morning, are you giving your all to the Lord? People all over the building this morning are sitting there right now with the wheels turning in their minds. You're one of them today. Have you really given your all to God? Have you given him a gift? God wants you to bring him a gift. He's not asking of you something you can't do. All he wants you to do is give to him what he's given to you.
put it all in His hands. Everybody stand if you need to pray this morning. God, the Holy Ghost has dealt with your heart. The Lord wants you to bring Him a gift. The Lord wants you to bring Him a gift. If you need to pray this morning, bring to Him what He's given to you. Honor Him with what He's honored you with. Honor Him with all of your substance, all of your being. God wants you to bring Him a gift. Sing for us when you're ready. What will you do with the message this morning? What will you do with the Word of the Lord? God wants me to bring Him a gift. My family, my finances, my future, my health, my identity, who I am, who I ever will be, everything that I have, everything that I am, what little intellect that I have, He wants me to give it all to Him because it's His. Anything worth giving came from Him, and I just must give it back to Him. I really want to give Him a sacrifice, so I'll start with a gift. I can sacrifice for Him in service when I give Him the gift of all that He's already given to me. When God has all that I am, then I can give Him all that I'll ever be. What He really wants is that fellow down inside. Your fruit. He wants your faith. But He really wants that fellow down in here. Praise God for the day I gave Him that fellow down in here. No, you're not. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Wherefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I don't belong to myself this morning. I belong to somebody. I belong to the Lord. God wants that fella down in here. That fella's a saved fella. This old man out here is carnal and earthly and fleshly and devilish. Had men in there saved and sanctified and separated, had made for the master's shoes. That man down in here is the Savior's man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants a fellowship with that fellow. Praise the Lord. He wants us to bring Him a gift. God wants me. Well, I need Him to give me a gift. But God wants me to bring Him a gift. You think those wise men came to Jesus when He was just a baby bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh because Jesus needed it? No. He owns everything. But God wants me to bring Him a gift. Will you give Him what He's given you? I hope I've made an ounce of sense this morning. God wants me to bring Him a gift. May not be profound to none of you, but it sure has rattled me. He wants this fellow down in here. You know, Sunday school this morning we studied, Samson was willing to give God this man out here. He was willing to fight the Philistines. He was willing to complete the great feats of strength. He was willing to move between Dan and Eshcol under the instruction and empowerment of the Holy Ghost. But he got to the place where he wouldn't give God the gift of the man down in here. He refused his vow. He broke his vow because the man down in here got stubborn with God. If we won't give God this fellow down in here, He went out then and said, I'll still get him this manna here. And he shook himself as he had before. And he wist not that the Holy Spirit was gone from him. If we won't give him this fellow in here, he won't use this fellow out here. You want to serve powerless? Oh Lord. You want your preaching to be empty, your singing to be empty? Do you want your home to be void? Try to serve him out here without giving him this fellow in here. Oh God. I want my preaching to be empowered, my singing to be anointed, my service to be honored. And if that's going to be so, I've got to give him that felon here. God wants me to give him a gift. Hallelujah. Well, I'll give you what the Lord said on my heart. I've got to stop preaching. I've got a lot more thoughts on this. If you want to hear some, you just hang around and talk a while after church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember the meeting tonight. We'll pray at 5:55. Looking forward to the service.